Psalm 3, page 543. A psalm of David, who, when he fled from his son Absalom. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people.
Well, good morning, church family. It's a real pleasure, a privilege to be up here and to preach Christ this morning. But we don't come to hear from Christ in our own strength, so let's come to the Lord in prayer now. Let's pray. Show us Christ, Lord, we pray. As we come now to Psalm 3, Lord, make our hearts attentive to your word. Speak loving words of comfort to us. Challenge us and rebuke us where we need it. But may we see Christ now, we pray in your name, Lord, and for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Alex Karpenko, I hope I'm saying that correctly, is a young musician who lives in Ukraine. Over the past year, we've all seen countless images, videos, news stories of devastation that the war is having in Ukraine, and it's really angering, it's really heartbreaking to see all of that, isn't it? Alex found that heartbreaking to watch as someone who was there in Ukraine in the midst of it. But early in the war, last March 2022, he posted a video a few weeks into the war on Instagram, and he writes that this is my inner protest to sirens, bombs, murders, and war. My inner protest to sirens, bombs, murders, and war. The video's about a minute long. We're just going to watch it now. Thanks, guys. I think there's something really stirring and really beautiful about that as we watch. Out on the street, while air raid sirens are playing, the threat of bombs, of tanks, of invaders coming. And what he's saying there is, I'm not going to listen to that music, all of that noise. I'm going to listen to a different song. And whenever there are sirens going off in our lives, it's very, very hard to know how to respond. And yet, brothers and sisters, if we don't respond in faith, when there are enemies, when there are trials in our lives, then we will crumple. Alex there, he responded with joyful music. That was his song, what he chose to listen to. But God has given us even greater songs to sing. Songs that are beautiful, not only because they sound wonderful, because they're nice music, but because they take our eyes off the sirens, off the enemies, off the trials in our lives, and they make us look to Jesus. They make us look to Jesus reigning in heaven, and they drive away every fear, every anxiety that we have. That is what the Psalms are. They are songs and prayers. Like everything else in the Bible, it is God's word. It has been spoken, it has been given to us by God our Father. And he's given them to us for us to not only read them and learn from them, but for us to say them, to sing them, and to pray them. Psalms are songs and prayers given to us by God for us then to actually give back to God again. Do you ever have those moments in your lives when you're just lost for words? Maybe you come home from work, it has been an awful day, and you just want to sit quietly. Doesn't feel like there's anything worth saying, anything that you can say. Do you ever find that when you're praying, that you sort of sit there and you have all the emotions there, anger or sorrow or sadness or whatever it is, but you just can't seem to find any of the words? They won't come. You can't actually express how you're feeling. That is why God has so graciously given us the Psalms, words for every moment, every emotion of our lives to turn to him in prayer. They teach us to pray. It's a bit like how whenever a young child, parents are wanting to teach them how to speak, you say words to them, mamma, dada, dada, mamma. I don't actually know if people say those, that's just what you see on TV. But you are giving them the words for them to say back to you. Here in this Psalm, Psalm 3, which we're looking at, God gives us, his children, the words to pray so that we can cast all of our anxiety away and look to Jesus, our comforter. And as we begin the psalm, we see it is a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. If you don't know, in the Old Testament, David was God's anointed king over God's people, Israel. But we read in 2 Samuel how his son Absalom turned the hearts of his people away from David and basically led a rebellion against his father. Can you imagine that? Your son whom you raised, whom you spoon-fed, dressed him, taught him how to walk, held his hand as he did so. That son now rising up, turning an entire nation against you. David had no choice. He had to flee Jerusalem, his city, weeping and ashamed. And it is in the midst of that, it is in that situation that David calls out and he prays these words. Look at verse 1 with me. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. I'm just going to move this. David looks around. His enemies are like sand on the seashore. He can't even count them. How many are my foes? They're everywhere. What are they doing? They're rising up against him. Have you ever been in school or maybe on the sports field and there's two people who are just hurling abuse at each other and they're just shouting at each other, it's nothing. But then suddenly one of them gets up. Starts squaring up to the other guy, rises up. That's what it's like here. It feels a lot more serious, doesn't it? But it's not just one guy on the playground. It's hundreds, thousands of people coming, rising up, grabbing their weapons, getting their swords, wanting to come and kill David. But it's not even their rising up for a fight that's the worst. It's what they are saying that really feels like the killer blow. God will not deliver him. That's what everyone is saying of him. It's not the physical attack that's hard. It's the spiritual attack on our souls that is always the toughest. They say this of his soul. This matters not just for this life. It matters for all eternity what they're saying, whether or not God is going to save him. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm going to assume not many of you have ever been driven out of Jerusalem weeping and barefoot. Not many of you are likely to have had your kingdom taken away from you by your son's rebellion. But many of us know what it's like to have enemies. Many of us know what it is like for us to have people who tell you these lies, who tell you that God is not going to save you. Some of you maybe know what that's like in your family life, for a mother or a father to be furious with you, that you would want to put your trust in God. They yell at you, they call you an idiot, tell you that God isn't out there, and even if he was, what would he want with a loser like you? God isn't going to save you. Why do you spend so much time at church or reading your Bible? Why do you give your money away when you should be saving up? Your parents, maybe for some actually, it's even more serious. Maybe your parents or your family won't talk to you because of your faith in Jesus. Maybe you've even been threatened or know what it's like to be in danger for your faith. That's really hard. And even if some of us don't know what that is like, all of us still have that enemy, the devil. The Bible calls him a prowling lion, seeking someone, seeking God's people to devour. He goes around looking to rip us apart and take us away from our Savior. He's called the father of lies. His favorite weapon is his tongue, and he loves to use it to spread lies about God to us. Even if no one around us is telling us that God isn't going to save us, that God's not going to deliver us, he is that little quiet voice that wants to tell us, you're alone. God's not going to help you. Those promises in the Bible, they're not for you. He tells you that God's gotten tired of you. He's sick of you having to keep coming and repenting of the same things. He doesn't care. Why bother praying? Why are you still going to church? God has nothing to say to you. We all have that enemy who loves to tell us those lies, who says that God will not deliver you. And so the question is, brothers and sisters, how are we going to respond to those lies? That's what they are. They are lies. When you hear these voices from people outside, from within, how will you respond? Will you believe it? Believe that, actually, yeah, God's not going to save, and just give up? Will you go and look somewhere else, look for someone or something to deliver you instead? Run away and find shelter elsewhere. We know that that doesn't work. In John's gospel, when many people were turning away, they were abandoning Jesus, he turns around to his 12 disciples and he asks them, are you going to leave me also? Peter answers him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. There is no one else worth going to. Where else can we go but to Jesus when we are hearing these lies? No, the way to respond to them is the way David does here. Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. In faith, in desperation, he tells God, this is what's going on. These are my enemies all around me. This feels overwhelming. Verse 3, but. That is a great word. That is how faith talks in the midst of peril. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. Many people will say that God won't deliver us, but you, Lord. This is how faith talks. It affirms what we know is true of God in the face of doubts and lies. When our home life feels like an absolute mess and people are telling us to shut up about God, where is God in the midst of that? He is a shield all around us. Any arrow that someone fires at us, it cannot hurt us. No harm can happen to us that takes God by surprise. He is always watching over us. He is a barrier for us. That doesn't mean we never get hurt. Jesus promises that as the world persecuted him, so it will persecute us also. But God is a shield because no lasting harm can ever happen to us. We know that our souls are secure in him. I've shared the quote before, but George Whitefield, a preacher in the 1700s, once said, "We are immortal until our work is done." We are immortal until our work is done. In other words, God is such a shield around us that nothing will stop us until he calls us home. And then we're with him, and nothing will hurt us for all eternity. He is our glory. There is no one higher than him, nothing greater than him. We don't need to feel shame or hide away because we have the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one who lifts our heads high. Why? Because he answers us. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. At home, I live with four other guys in a flat, one of whom is mostly deaf. And there will be plenty of times when I'll go into a room, or he'll just be leaving, and I'll say something very loud, you know, "Morning, Josh!" Wasn't looking at me, doesn't hear, walks on out of the room. That never happens with God. He always hears. He always answers. Since God made the world, there is not a prayer that God has not heard. And although we don't always understand how, the God who made the universe loves you and cares about you so intimately that you will never pray a prayer that he will not answer. The answer might be no or not yet, but he is there, he is listening, and he only gives good gifts to you, his child. And notice here where he answers from his holy mountain. That is so important because referring to the place where God's king reigns. That's where David reigned, and for us, that is where Jesus reigns from. He is the king who has conquered. He is the one who vanquishes every foe. He has defeated sin and death, and so there is no enemy that he cannot and will not defeat. And so he answers us. David left Jerusalem, his head downcast and weeping. Later, he returned to the throne, his head held high, not because of anything that he had done, but because God delivered him. God lifts high our heads. Why do we ever have our heads down? Why do we walk our heads low? It's because we're sad, we're ashamed, we don't want people to look at us. But God lifts our heads high. He lifts them up to see Jesus there on the cross, dying for our sins, promising to bring peace to our souls. We lift our eyes and we see Jesus on his holy mountain, reigning in heaven over all, and we know our salvation is secure. God lifts our eyes and we see our Saviour ruling in the new heavens and the new earth, and we know that every bit of pain that we have now is only temporary, and one day we will go home to him, and that gives us faith, that gives us hope to carry on. Gives us faith to carry on. That's what David does in verse 5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. For David here, notice nothing's actually changed in his circumstances. He's not safely back in Jerusalem. He's still on the run. He's still being hunted, but he has the faith to lie down and sleep. That might not sound like much, but picture the scene. A few nights beforehand, David would have been sleeping in a nice big four-poster bed, four walls, a roof over his head, guards around the palace on the city walls. Now, he is lying down in the cold of the wilderness with not so much as a pillow to rest his head. There are thousands of people who are hunting him, wanting to kill him. When we lie down and sleep, there is not a time in our lives where we are more vulnerable. If you knew that if you went to sleep tonight and there was a pretty good chance there were people looking for you, wanting to come and stab you in the middle of the night, how well do you think you would sleep? I don't think I'd get a wink. How well does David sleep? Pretty well. I lie down and sleep. Because it's going to be fine, it's all going to be okay, I don't need to worry. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. That is why. Some of you will probably lie down on your bed tonight and your heart will feel crippled with anxiety and worry. Others of you will go to bed and you'll sleep pretty easily without a care in the world. All of us can only sleep and can only rise again tomorrow morning because the Lord sustains us. If it were not for him, not one of us would wake when the sun rises tomorrow morning. It is God who continually gives us life. And that means that we can lie down and sleep in peace, trusting in him, casting our burdens on him, looking to Jesus, knowing that he is reigning, and so we can rest. Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4 say, God will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Christian brother and sister, you can go to sleep in faith tonight, giving all of your worries and doubts over to him. Every foe, every enemy, every false lie that the devil tells you, because God never sleeps. He never leaves your side. I was chatting to a friend at college this week about just how much God cares about our sleep in the Psalms. It comes up quite a lot, actually. And she was saying a lot of the time, actually, she doesn't really want to go to bed at night because she doesn't want the next day to start. But knowing how much God cares for her, knowing that he will sustain her as he sustained her today, he will sustain her through the night, he will sustain her tomorrow, that gives her the faith to go to sleep in peace. And for David, such is the encouragement of this, of knowing that God is reigning, he can say, I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Lord, it doesn't matter how many there are. I know that you are bigger, that you are greater. I can trust in you. And so final two verses, he calls on the Lord to act. Arise, Lord. Deliver me, O God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Now, we might read this and think, oh, calm down. That sounds very violent language here. we really allowed to pray something like this? Surely not. Well, actually, yes. The Psalms a lot of the time really surprise us of what God invites us to pray to him. But listen to what is being asked here. It's not just asking, Lord, destroy everyone who is a pain around me. No, the focus is here, Lord, save me, deliver me. How will he do that? Here we're praying, strike them on the cheek, break their jaw. In other words, take away the weapons of their mouths, which they use to speak lies. And it is right that we would pray that. That we pray that God would silence those who try and discourage us, who try and take us away from the Lord. We want to be really careful in doing this and make sure that when we pray, we know, Lord, this is your responsibility, not mine. Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek. It is the Lord's responsibility to judge. And so for us praying, this might look like saying, Father, you know how my parents won't stop cursing you and giving me abuse because I trust in you. Please make them stop. Please silence them. Bring them, Lord, to a place where instead of using their tongues for cursing, bring them to a place where they will praise you instead for your glory's sake. That's what it might look like to pray this. The psalm ends, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. It's amazing, isn't it, that David is saying from the Lord comes deliverance while he's still on the run, while his enemies are all around him. For us praying it now, there will still be enemies around us. We are still not home with God in glory, but we can trust knowing one day we will be. Deliverance will come, and we can wait and trust in that. As we finish, what do we need to take away from this psalm? Two things, but there are so many things that we could take from this. Firstly, we need to remember how we ourselves need that deliverance of God. Jesus, the true Davidic king, he's the one who prays the psalms perfectly. And we need to remember that actually, we are the people who once mocked Jesus, who cursed his name, who were his enemies. If you're here and you're a Christian, God has humbled you and he has shown you your sin. He has, in a sense, he has struck you on the teeth. He has struck you on the cheek and broken your teeth. He has put a new song into your mouth so that you praise God instead of cursing him. And we need to remember that humbling that God has given us and how we need that deliverance. And if you're here and you haven't given your life to Christ yet, then do be warned. God invites. He says, I will deliver you. But he is a just judge. And one day you will stand before him. And either you will stand there as one whom he has saved or as one whom he must strike. God is loving. He sent Christ to that holy mountain, to Calvary, for you. But he will not let sin go unpunished. Come to him today. Know the deliverance of Christ. But secondly, as we leave, as we go back to our everyday lives, it's really easy, isn't it, to take our eyes off Christ again, to look around at everything around us and to be overwhelmed. It's hard to lie down and sleep. It's tempting to believe those lies that God will not deliver us. So what might it look like for you to keep trusting Christ, to keep looking to him, to keep crying aloud to him instead of looking at our enemies and being afraid? Well, it might look something like what it's looked like for me the past couple of weeks. Some of my friends whom I live with really struggle with their mental health, and I find that really hard to watch and to try and love and support them in the midst of that. And at times I find it really tempting to just try and take that on myself, or to deal with it and not take it to the Lord, and of course I can't. Leaves me feeling worried or sad or scared. And so the past couple of weeks, there's been a lot of nights where I've just needed to go outside, go to a bench on the college grounds, and just pray through Psalm 3 or other Psalms and say, Lord, here are all these things going on. Here are all of this. Here's all of these people who are struggling, the lies that they're being told. Father, at times it feels like there isn't much hope here. But you, Lord, are a shield all around me. You are the lifter of my head. You answer from your holy hill. And in praying that, I'm encouraged to keep going. I've been reminded of what's true of God. I know He is still there. And I continue to need to keep doing that, and that's okay. A few nights ago, I was out praying, and I said along the lines of, Lord, I'm going to be out here again soon, probably quite a few times more. And that's okay, because you give me the strength to carry on. Jesus is still on the throne. He is still reigning, and you will bring me home to Him. And that is a comfort to keep going. I don't know what it'll look like in your lives, but Christ is on the throne. Whatever enemies are around you, in work, in home, in school, the devil speaking lies to you, Christ is on the throne. We don't need to fear, but we do need His help. Call out to Him. Cry aloud to Him. Salvation belongs to the Lord. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Let's pray. Lord, how many are our foes? How many rise up against us? Many say of us that God will not deliver us. Father, it is really hard and tempting at times to despair, to go and look for help and salvation elsewhere, to find comfort elsewhere, but Lord, that is pointless. You, Lord, are a shield around us. You are our glory. You are the one who lifts our heads high. We cry out to you, Lord, and you answer us from your holy mountain. Lord, you are a shield, and no harm will come to us. You lift our heads high. We have no need for shame, because Christ has won. We lie down and sleep. We wake again because you, Lord, sustain us. We will not fear though tens of thousands assail us on every side. Father, you have brought us here today. You have sustained us. Give us the courage to carry on. May we not fear. May tonight we lie down and sleep, knowing that you sustain us. Arise, Lord, deliver us, our God. Strike our enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Father, we pray that those around us who would seek to take us away from you, bring them to a point of humbling. Take away their weapons that they use to curse you and discourage us. Bring them to a place where they humbly, on their knees, will praise you as our brothers and sisters. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Lord, from you come deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Father, we are your people. And we cry out to you that you would comfort us and that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ alone. In your name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Adam.